most significant difference between Dow and when you went to school?
Well, the biggest significance is the size of the school. There were just a small number of students that were in the first grade class when I was here. And you got to know everyone as a family and growing up and playing together. We look forward to recess and played together and then went back to our class.
How many kids were in your first grade? Do you remember?
I do not remember. I'm thinking there was, seemed like there was probably 18 or 20.
Oh, that's a lot.
That's more than the first grade we have now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we only have 13.
Yeah, I'm thinking that, but it's been a long time since I was back in first grade.
Things seem bigger then.
Yes, that's for sure.
Well, you had kids coming from, first grade you were up on the hill there, right in the center school, what they call the center school.
Right, the center school, yes.
Do these guys know where that is? Tell them where it was.
It was by Depot Road.
Do you know that?
Yeah. I used to live there.
It was up in the wooded area. It's kind of overgrown now, but there were ledges there, which we were enthused with, climbing on them as a first grader, and all enthused about nature, and it was really, really nice. But you don't see many one-room schoolhouses anymore. I mean, that's getting to be passé.
Did you go outside a lot? Did they let you go outside a lot and play?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we had recess, and especially during the warm weather. But we were kind of restricted, if I remember, during storms, that we just stayed in the classroom, which was kind of different for us as a youngster, because we had like cabin fever. We couldn't wait to get outside.
we sometimes have to have indoor recess too. When it's too cold out, or like when it's raining, we have to stay inside.
Yeah.
And not everybody's happy about that.
Yeah. But you've got a gym here too, right?
Yeah, but sometimes we can't go to that one.
Oh, really?
Because there might be like a class inside.
Okay, I see. Well, that's really nice. That was a big thing when I went from school to school here in Leverett, and this I was one of the first classes that came to the new school here when this was being built, which was, we thought, was really quite the thing.
Because very few schools had gymnasiums, right?
That's for sure. Yeah, and
so this was a big modern convenience.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
The new school in Leverett, that was really nice. Really nice.
So what did your classroom look like?
It was just like a one room, and they had everything, all together with, the little desk and what have you. Mm-hmm. And we had arts with a bulletin board, and we could pin our artwork up on it. Mm-hmm. And that was it. But there was it was not elaborate. It was just a small, it was a small, very small building at that particular time.
Do you remember what you had for heat?
No, I don't. I'm almost thinking that we might have had a wood stove.
A lot of them did, yeah.
I was real young but I know that it was tiny,
Did you have running water?
Yes, I believe we did. I think it might have been connected to a house that was down the road a little, but there was running water, if I remember right. I mean, we didn't have a bubbler.
I know some of the schools up in Moore's Corner had to go to a neighbor's to get a bucket for the day.
Yeah.
And then they just have a bucket. They could take a ladle out of.
Yeah, and spoon out of.
Yeah.
Spoon out, ladle out a glass of water.
Mm-hmm. How many students were in your class?
I'm thinking that it's been a long time, but I'm thinking it might have been somewhere maybe 18, but I could be wrong. It's been an awful long time. But it seemed like when we moved from the one room to the larger school, that we picked up some additional people, which might have come, some of them might have come from Shutesbury. I'm not sure, because it was on the Shutesbury Road there in Leverett.
So you went from the Depot Road School, mm-hmm. then to the East Leverett School, which right. is on the corner of Shutesbury Road and the Cushman Road,
that's right?
That's
right, yes, yeah.
Which is still there.
Yes.
Do you guys know where that is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It and still looks pretty much like it did, doesn't it?
Yeah, and we, I mentioned earlier, our playroom, our play class was across the road down in the ravine, and the teacher would walk us down the hill and then cross the hold the traffic up if there was any vehicles coming through, so the class could go down and we'd all play in the field. We had our little ball field there and played dodgeball and things like that. And then after recess was over, we'd march all single file, come up the hill, and they'd cross us, and then we'd go back into our classes there at school. If I remember right, that had a couple of three classrooms in it, which was much larger. And then I think at that particular time, this school was being built, because I was only there a short time, and then came here. I think I was here for the third grade. Yeah.
And, so you must have gone to second in the East Leverett School.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then here, and then my father was transferred, and that's how I happened to leave Leverett. He was transferred to Whately, and so I went to fourth grade in the Whately Elementary School, which is called East Whately Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I lost all my Leverett friends, because they were all here and I kind of moved on. But we made contact throughout the years. But unfortunately, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the students that I knew here in Leverett, when we got up into higher education, they had gone on to Amherst Regional, and I was at Frontier in South Deerfield.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to see each other at basketball games.
Cheering for the opposite side.
That's right.
Do you know how many people were in your school?
No, I don't. I do not remember that. When the first grade was smaller, but the other school that was up on the hill in East Leverett was a little bit larger. There were a couple of more grades, I believe, there at that particular time.
How were the grade levels organized?
You mean in a single classroom, how were the different grades organized?
Yeah, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, what had happened is you were just a student. I mean, everybody, boys and girls, were all together, and we were all around the same age bracket. And the teacher taught us, you know, our classes as in one room, so everybody would participate in that particular class.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go anywhere else. It was just a matter of being in that one room schoolhouse.
So if you were in second grade, were you doing this? You weren't doing the same work as the fourth graders, say?
No, I think the differential was when we had gone to East Leverett, because there were a couple of different rooms, and I think there were different classes at that particular time.
Okay.
Like second grade was in one room, and then third was in another. And then the transition period took place when this place was being constructed, and they said, well, next year we're going to the new school.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
And even here, didn't they have like second and third together, and then, or first and second together, and then third and fourth, and fifth and sixth?
I think maybe they do.
Yeah, I think when they first got here, they did it that kind of combined.
Yeah.
Because they only had four classrooms, someone told us.
Yeah, it was, they might have added on. Have they added on to this building?
Twice.
Oh, see, because it doesn't, it looks a lot larger than I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, our classroom is actually like, it was over a playground.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah.
Oh, that was nice. But we just thought it was wonderful. I mean, all new lighting, and everything was so bright, you know.
Brick, everything was,
yes,
you know, yeah.
And I was telling Mrs. Field, you know, as a young student, the biggest thing that happened when we arrived here was the turnabout, which was in the play yard, was this thing like a big table. And it was revolved on a center.
With the metal bars on it.
Yeah, that's it. Oh.
I know those. Yeah.
There's one up at the North Leverett Co-op.
Yeah.
So we spent the whole recess, especially the boys, on that turnabout. I mean, the teacher almost had to pull us off to get back to class because it was something that was so new. Mm-hmm. But I think it might have. They might have had to take it down.
Yeah, we don't have it anymore.
Yeah, I think it was because of safety. You know. Not that I remember anybody falling per se or getting hurt. I don't recall that, but I think that maybe the school committee thought that it might necessarily be taken down for any future accidents.
I remember at a school I went to where we had one. I'm about your same age, I think. I don't think people worried about us quite as much as they worry about children today.
Oh, no.
But I remember that thing going so fast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people would just run until it was spinning so fast that you couldn't get off.
Yeah, broke his arm on one of those,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they can be a little dangerous.
And I think the biggest thing was the boys kept spinning that thing so fast that they didn't want the girls to be able to hop aboard.
Yes,
I think that
exactly.
Was one of the reasons for it, you know.
Exactly.
They just couldn't get close enough to grab the bar to hop on, you know. But I think that's probably what the purpose
Keep
of
Keep those girls off.
Yeah.
How did the teacher teach so many grades at once? Did you feel like you didn't get enough attention?
No. Back then, I think that they did a great job, mm-hmm. you know, teaching that number of students with just one teacher, and the difference. We didn't have the same teacher taught all the subjects, so that it wasn't like you had a different teacher mm-hmm. for when you had math and art, you know, the same teacher taught. But I think that. Back then, I think we had the attention that was required.
Mm-hmm.
We felt okay about that. It was nice. Mm.
Do you remember any of your teachers?
Well, I do. I think my first grade teacher was Mrs. Lovely, and then I had a Truesdell. I think, I don't know if that was her maiden name, and then she got married, but that's what our...
That was her married name, her first marriage.
Oh, was her first marriage?
Yeah, her husband died.
Oh, okay.
She married again.
Oh, okay.
Was she a LeClaire?
No.
To begin with? No.
No. I don't know. My mind's a blank. I know... She was good friends with Clarissa, LeClaire, so it may have been that they were related in some fashion, or maybe they were just had the same occupation as teaching, and so they got to know each other that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
But that's been a long time ago. But
is that family still here in town, Truesdell?
No.
No.
There are some in the area, but not here in town.
Not in Leverett.
Yeah.
What were your teachers like?
Well, they were very nice. They seemed to be older, not like the younger teachers that were getting right out of college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they were mature and a lot older than we thought. because, I mean, we were only, you know, 6 and 7 years old. But I remember when I had gone to high school, first teacher that we had in home economics was a pretty young girl that just got out of college, and it seemed like all the boys wanted to take home economics to learn how to make brownies. I never wanted to make brownies, but it was trying to see if we could get closer to the teacher, to, you know, so you could get a good mark. But it was really, really different, and that, you know, that was like a freshman year in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want brownies.
Yeah, you want brownies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would go there to make brownies.
Yeah.
Was it cold in your school during the winter?
I don't recall it being cold. It certainly wasn't insulated like this particular building, but I think the janitor and the people that took care of the school did a lot of maintenance. You know, like they covered the windows and the basement windows with plastic and things like that to keep the wind from blowing, you know, through. But as far as heat, I don't recall. I think possibly it could have been a wood stove back in those days, like a potbelly stove.
Yeah.
I think the East Lever School, we know, somebody has said they had a wood stove,
mm-hmm,
over there. And
yeah.
The older boys would keep it during the day. They would keep it
soaked up. Yeah. Oh yeah. I remember wood being stacked towards the back of it. You know that they'd stack the wood.
Actually in the room?
No, outside.
Outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'd have like a little side thing with, you know, wood stack probably.
Little shed.
Yeah, 4 or 5 feet high, and which would take them through, you know, several days probably. But it seemed comfortable. It didn't seem like we were cold. I mean, we didn't have to actually sit in the classroom with a jacket on, you know. I think it was, you know, sufficient for that particular time.
Was it cramped in your school or class?
I don't recall it being cramped per se. The students would move around a little, you know. I remember that the teacher would have, you know, some of the students would like to get up and wander a little, so they'd have to get them situated, get them back to their desk, you know. But
that sounds familiar.
Yeah. But you know, at that age, you know, that had a tendency to have your mind water, so all of a sudden, you know, you'd raise your hand to, mm-hmm, to try to go to the bathroom, and there'd be people moving around. But it was pretty much under control.
Mm-hmm.
She had the classroom under control.
Well, speaking of bathrooms, where were the ones that were in your school then?
Outside. Yeah, yeah, a little outhouse that you'd go outside and they'd watch you and then come back in, hear the door open, back to class. Yeah, that was.
Do you remember what they looked like?
No, I don't. I don't recall. It wasn't like the modern porta potty today, though. I think it looked more like a little shanty.
Did you wash your hands when you came back into the classroom?
Well, there might have been a jug of water there that you could rub on, you know, and with some little toweling, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
But the teacher would ask, you know, did you wash your hands, you know? That's a little tough.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
What time did school start?
Well, I think school started probably around 8:30. I'd catch the bus there on the corner of Depot Road, which was I think it used to be an old school years and years ago across from the Kaminsky's on 63. It's on the corner of 63 and Depot Street, which wasn't in operation while I lived there.
It had been a school at one time.
Yeah, years and years ago. Yeah. But that's where I picked up the bus and then came up. But when I came to this school, I was telling Mrs. Fields, the bus went up 63 and came up by the Field residence and came up Long Hill to come in the back way.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
So, and it seemed pretty treacherous some winters.
I bet.
You know, after a storm, we were wondering whether the bus was going to make it. But we all seemed to get here. It wasn't like the modern days of today where I don't recall a two-hour delay. the old days of two-hour delay, you know. When you got to school, you got to school. I mean, they were very good, and I think the town of Leverett did a great job, you know, back then to keep the the roads plowed and what have you, so that the buses could get through. But there were a lot of rural routes here in Leverett that buses had to travel.
Yeah.
Not like in South Deerfield or Whiteley. But I think they did a good job back then. But it wasn't a real big, if I recall, it wasn't a real big bus. It was like half the size of a bus. It's like a little mini,
okay.
If I remember correctly.
What time did school end?
It seemed like school ended like at 3 o'clock, but I don't remember. It was like 8:30 to 3 we'd have a recess in the morning. And then we'd have another recess in the afternoon, you know, which I don't know if they still do that or now, but
no.
It seemed like we had a break in the morning and a break in the afternoon.
Did you go out to recess after lunch?
Yeah. And we look forward to that. I think it was like 2 o'clock or something like that. But yeah, if I remember right, the afternoon recess was much shorter. It wasn't as long, so you couldn't really get a game going, you know. It was just taking a break.
Now, you spoke about the playing soft baseball across the street.
Yes.
From the East Leverett School.
Yes.
Do you remember what you did when you went to the center school for recess?
It was just, we just mulled around because it was a wooded area. There was no real room for any games per se. I think we played like hide and seek, you know, that type of thing, hopscotch, and but there was no athletic game because there was no real ball field or an area large enough, because it was just like the main road and then the school, and a lot of it was ledge that we could walk around and play on.
Yeah.
But that was pretty much it.
What was recess like?
Well, we just played little small games. We, in first and second grade, a lot of it was just, like I said, we played hopscotch and dodgeball.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have, until we got up to the East Leverett Center School, where we actually had a made ball field that we could, you know, we had team and. We didn't have a long game. I mean, it was only a couple of innings, but it was, you know, and we didn't have practice. We just started the game, you know, bats and the balls came out, and
did boys and girls both play on the teams?
Yeah. It was a co-ed team, and but we enjoyed it. We enjoyed it at that particular time. Nice.
What did you eat at school?
Well, a lot of times we brought our own lunch, you know. We had a little bag, you know, with like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and crackers and cheese and things like that. And then a little cup of carton of milk, and that was pretty much, because there was no cafeteria. And, So I remember my mother sending me off with my little lunch pail, which, you know, well, maybe some of the kids still bring their lunch, I don't know, but I remember I had a little lunchbox that I carried, and we had a little cubby that you could put it in, where you put your sweater or your jacket, and that was pretty much it.
It was very exciting in my life to get a new lunchbox. Each year we got a new lunchbox. Sort of like these guys get backpacks, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was no such thing as a backpack. If it was anything, it was a grocery bag that you put stuff in, you know, that when your mother went to do grocery shopping, the bag was in the kitchen if you needed to bring something to school. Huh. Like if you had a project and you needed to bring things, you'd put it in a bag from the store.
What were your classmates like?
Oh, they were nice. They were nice classmates. We had some of them, like I say, I lost contact with a lot of those after I left Leverett because they had gone to a different school, a regional school in Amherst, and so I didn't get to see it. Although I did have an experience with one of my classmates, which was Elise Emery, who lived on, I think it was either Juggler Meadow or T-Waddle Hill.
T-Waddle, yeah.
And over the years, I had a dentist appointment with Dr. Hogle in Amherst, and I went over to have my appointment, and the doctor, I might have been a little early for my appointment, and he said, I'll be with you, I'll be finishing up shortly. And the girl that was in the chair, she said, that wouldn't be Larry Risley, would it? And Dr. Hogle says, well, as a matter of fact, it is. She says, oh my God, I haven't seen him in years. And she was a classmate of mine.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Yeah. She recognized you.
She recognized my voice, yeah, over the years.
That's great.
Yeah. we were in class here when we came to the new school here, and I can remember the teacher writing a note on my report card to my mother, and it said, would you tell Larry to refrain from putting Elise Emery's pigtail in the inkwell.
Oh!
She sat in front of me, and she had this beautiful black, long black hair with a pigtail, and it was so tempting. We had our little inkwells on the corner of the desk, and it would be hanging on mine, so I dipped the end of it in the inkwell. Her mother didn't go for it.
No, I'm sure not.
But evidently I was a little mischievous at that particular time.
Do you ever remember being bullied at school?
No, I do not. That's something that seems that happened much later on. But I don't recall that it happening while I was here up to third grade.
To anyone or just to you?
No, I don't remember me or students bullying someone else. I don't. Maybe back then I didn't really know what that was all about in the younger years. But if it was something that had happened a lot in later years that I've read about in the newspaper,
mm-hmm.
with bullying. But I don't recall that myself.
Do you guys think it happens here at Leverett now?
Not really. Yeah, it's not really extreme at all. Like, I mean, yeah, I don't remember.
Occasionally it might happen, but not much.
It's not like super serious. The biggest thing I've ever seen, which is bullying, is like just like minor kind of. Like
it'll be someone like calling someone else a name or something.
But like, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And that only happens like every, not very much.
Rarely. It's rarely.
So.
Because mostly people know each other pretty well, right? I wonder if bullying happens more when people don't know each other as well.
Possibly, yeah.
Because I always think people do that because they're afraid.
Yeah.
They act like a bully, but really inside they're afraid, you know, and that's why they act that way. I don't know if that's true, but that's how it seems to me.
Yeah. I don't think it would be considered bullying, but I can recall that if you had a fellow classmate that might have been a little overweight and he couldn't run, you know, during a baseball game, you might say, well, you know, you're too fat, you know. But that would be the extent of it. But I don't think they'd pick on somebody constantly over that particular reason. But at that age, you know, a second grader, you know, there's a chance that they could be a little chubby, you know. But I don't recall, you know, getting on a student, you know, day after day for any particular bullying reason. I don't recall.
That's good.
What was your favorite subject?
Well, I liked art. I liked art and and science. The teacher was very good about that, and we had little projects. A lot of it was more agriculture, being in an area like Leverett, planting seeds and having them on the windowsill and watching them grow. And as I was telling Mrs. Fiel, I can remember to learn about the veins, like in vegetables, like in celery, we'd put celery in a glass with dye in it, and then you'd wash the veins of the celery as it would suck up the dye into it, and you could see how rapidly it would go.
Oh, and, cool!
Yeah, and it was nice, they expounded a lot on that particular, and I remember, you know. We would buy seeds, you know, they'd have a class that would sell seeds, little package of seeds, and we'd plant, we'd get little soil in cups, and we'd put them in here on a tray and watch them grow, and which, that was, you know, for a youngster, that was a big deal.
Pretty exciting.
Exciting.
Yeah.
What classes or subjects did you have?
Well, we had reading and math, and then we had science. We had a little area, it wasn't really a subject, but we talked about current events, something that was happening at that particular time in the news, but they didn't expound on it like they do today. I mean, because
we didn't have 24-hour TV.
24-hour TV and cell phones and, you know, iPads. And, you know, that was... So to get the general conception as to what was going on, like when there was going to be an election, you know, the teacher would tell us that people would, you know, sign up for voting and things like that. And that's how we got the concept of what was happening with... Even town politics, that they were going to have a selectman, they were going to voting for a selectman, and we thought that was pretty interesting. And then once in a while, we'd have somebody come in and give a little talk, you know, which was nice.
Do you remember the order of your classes in the day?
No, I don't. I don't. We'd back, like when we started school, the first thing that we had was we had a prayer, which that kind of dissipated. You know, we all said a prayer, and then like an hour or so later, or an hour and a half later, we had like a quiet time. I know that we all sat at our desk and put our head down on the desk and had like a little snooze, you know? And they called it quiet time, you know? And then we started back in again. I mean,
that's probably smart.
If you told somebody that today, they think you were like out of your tree. What's that?
We missed nap time. Yeah. We had nap time in kindergarten, now we don't. I'm like, ah!
Yeah, that was kind of a...
It clears your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like it was long. It may have been 15 minutes. I don't know. But I know that everybody, you know, just kind of put their head on their arms, on their desk, and kind of took a little nap. But that was different back then, right?
Did you have any strategies for learning?
No.
Did you have math books?
We had like a workbook. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a hard bound book. It was like a pamphlet.
Mm-hmm.
And then like in third grade, we had something that was called like a weekly reader, which was current events and things that were happening. And it was like a little, everybody got this little two page booklet, you know, and it had different things that were going on. And it had a puzzle in it, and then things happening of that particular previous week.
Mm-hmm.
But then it dissipated, and that was like the end of it. I remember they call it the weekly reader.
I remember when it would come to our classroom, all of them rolled up together. It was mailed to us. And the teacher would open it up, and we'd all wait to get our copy.
Oh, yeah. Well, it had a band on it.
Yeah.
Like a plastic band, you know. And that was nice. But that was about the extent. It wasn't a hardbound, like a book or anything like that.
It's hard for these guys to imagine, I'm sure, because you get information all the time.
Yeah.
You know.
Sort of like the meds going on.
Oh yeah.
It's just
well,
longer than 2 pages.
Yeah, this is the modern area.
Oh. But they also have TV and phones and
I don't have cable TV, but
yeah.
You don't
but
I have Netflix.
Yeah. And I don't remember when it got to the point where we had closed circuit, you know. I think it was like in high school. That's, and today, I mean, people today, they live on those iPads.
Do you guys have iPads?
I don't have an iPad.
No.
I do. It's just kind of cracked.
Yeah.
It's cracked?
Yeah.
You dropped it?
Yeah, on the basement floor. It's covered with small rocks.
Yeah.
So, it still works.
Yeah.
That's good.
This is what, you know, the difference in technology and you know, different ways of learning and teaching.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
That's why it's so beneficial why the students of today are so much more advanced versus back in the times when I was your age, you know, going to school.
What did you write on? What did the teacher write on?
On a blackboard. Yeah. Everything was done on a blackboard. If there was a little problem, every now and then she'd pick somebody out of the class to go up to put the answer down, you know. And it wasn't a big class blackboard, you know. It was fairly small, but it was sufficient for what we needed. It was mainly done, you know, for math, you know.
Was that a job that somebody had to clean it?
Oh yes, yes. Was a job. Somebody clean at the end of the day, clean the blackboard, and then they'd be a volunteer to go out and clap the racers. So you'd go outside with six.
Everyone wanted to do that, right?
You go out and clap and clean the racers, you know.
Get the dust out.
Yeah, get the dust out.
Did you have different kinds of paper or different types of paper for different work?
Yeah. There were different colors. There was like, for science, you might use a yellow copy. And for history, you'd use blue. But you had four. The packets came in multicolors, and then the teacher would, if you had math, then that day she'd pass out all the yellow. All the students would get a yellow copy. And that's what we'd work on. And then we'd turn them in at the end of the class, you know, to get our mark. And then she'd pass them back the next morning.
Did you have examples written on the blackboard, or did you have a book to look at?
No, they wrote the problem on the blackboard, and then you transpose that to your sheet of paper. And then we'd have, like, on a certain day, we'd have a test it wasn't a long test. You know, there may be four or five problems, and that's what we pass in.
A quiz.
A quiz, yeah. Yeah, a quiz. Yeah, that would be a quiz. Yeah. Maybe on a Thursday, it'd be a quiz. You'd get your paper back on Friday to see how well you did, and, you know. And if you did well, you got a star. If you got them all right, you got a gold star. If you had one wrong, you got a silver star. And a blue if you got them half right. And so everybody be checking.
Black if you got them.
Black if you didn't get any of them right. You know, and everybody kind of look over to the next desk to see how they did versus how you did. You know? See if there were a lot more gold stars than silvers. You know? But that was nice.
Mm-hmm. How were you complimented for good work?
With these stars, mm-hmm. Yeah, they give you a sticker on, and then sometimes if you did really well, I mean, the teacher might put a smiley sticker on your paper. You know, it would just be your face with a big smile, and that meant that you had good effort. But all I can remember, you know, the stars, they were everywhere in the classroom. some of them fall out of the box, and they'd be on the teacher's desk, and that's what have you. But that was the way of doing it. That's, you know, that was the setup back then.
What happened
if you got an answer wrong? Then you might get a black star. Or they'd have you tell you what the correct answer was, and then you'd have to work on it, and they may quiz you another day to see if you absorbed the right answer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What happened if you failed a test? Could you be held back a grade?
I don't know if you, a lot of times if you had a medical problem, you might be held back. I don't know scholastically wise whether or not that would hold you back, but it would be up to the discretion of the teacher, that if you weren't grasping the information, that you might have to repeat second grade like that. But I don't recall it being a real harsh marking period per se. But that was something that it would have been up to the teacher at that time.
Did any kids skip grades and go ahead in your school?
I don't recall that. I don't recall that, like jumping from fifth to seventh or, you know, and skipping.
We heard about that up in North Leverett. Like, yeah. We the first person we interviewed, mm-hmm. is a lady in her 90s who... Yeah. Went to North Leverett and Morris Corners, and that was the first thing she said to us was, "I skipped two grades."
I don't recall that happening per se. Now, whether it did or not, I don't know.
Didn't happen to you.
Didn't happen to me.
Did you feel feel that your school prepared you for life beyond Leverett?
I think so. I think they did, because when I had moved on and moved to Whiteley to the following grade, it seemed like I was equally talented with the next student that was there at the Whiteley School. It wasn't that I was lacking any information. It wasn't my choice. It was just that my father had transferred jobs and meant I had to move. I probably wasn't happy about leaving my fellow students and classmates that I played with every day and went to class with, but it was just a matter of, the word got out, well, Larry's gonna be leaving in September, he's going to a different school. And it was because my father was transferred.
Well, and distances were probably much greater when you didn't have a lot of fast vehicles to, you know, probably going to school in Whiteley is quite a long way.
Yeah, yeah.
Compared to these days.
Yeah, yeah. People lived up on Christian Lane, and we just took the bus down the hill, you know, to Whiteley Center, you know.
And that's that school that's still there, that was the administration building, right?
Yeah, the superintendent's office,
I think they're moving them out of there because of mold or something.
Yes, they're trying to do something with the building, but the quality of air is not good.
It's a great little building, too bad.
Yeah, yeah, and we, you know, in the fourth grade, we all could walk across the street to a little store. Well, it wasn't much of a store. It was like a room that sold penny candy and stuff like that. Oh. And that was...
Like Chapes.
So that's a little snack, you know, but that was pretty much it. But that, the environment there was like here, because they had a ball field and volleyball and nets and stuff like that, which, you know, starting to, you know, come up the line for sporting.
Did they have a turnaround?
Oh, no, there was no turnaround. This was the only place that I can recall that had a turnabout. that was really nice.
What were the basic rules?
Well, the basic rules were probably, I don't recall chewing gum in school. I think that was kind of a no-no, and we were way too young to be involved with like tobacco products or anything like that. But I don't think the rules were really harsh, if I remember. They wanted you to be on class, you know, at class on time. They didn't want you to be tardy, mm-hmm. you know, like lingering out in the playground. When the bell rang, they expected you to be in line and brought into school and go right to class.
What about talking?
Oh, yeah. You the only talking was when you raised your hand. There was no inter-classroom chatter, you know, per se. I think it was, you know, it was pretty quiet. Well, he's just had the one teacher, and everybody was all together in this one. I mean, if everybody was chattering, I mean, I don't think the teacher would get much done. So they did a good job.
What punishments did students get? How are they punished?
A lot of times, they would take a privilege away. Like if you acted up, you might not be able to attend a movie on a Friday, like in the afternoon. They set up a screen with a projector and had a little movie.
Oh.
And that if there was an infraction, you probably were not able to go to that particular movie. They set you in another area. But that's all that I can remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They didn't make you stand in the corner with a dunce cap on, or I don't recall that.
How about staying in from recess?
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't be allowed to go out for recess. That was
that was one of the things. Everybody be out playing in the yard, and you would be sitting at your desk trying to keep busy for the 20 minutes or whatever length of time it was.
What happened if you were late to school?
Well, they would just mark you tardy. Yeah. It would just be a black mark on your report card that you had 3 tardy days. But I don't think there was any punishment per se. Because some of the kids had to walk to school.
Oh, so they might get.
Yeah. In other words, there was a certain limitation, a certain distance from the school that you might have to walk versus catching the bus. And if you were lollygagging and you didn't eat your breakfast at home and you started out to school and you were 10 minutes late, then you got a mark on your card. The teacher would mark you tardy.
Was your school segregated?
No.
If there was snow, how did you get to school?
Well, those that were on the bus route, we'd have to wait until the bus arrived. Sometimes your father or your mother would drive you to school if you were on the walking list. In other words, if you were due to walk to school and we had like 6 inches of snow, then your parents sometimes would take you because to try to tread to, there were no sidewalks per se, so you either walked on the road or the side of the road, and with that amount of snow, it would take you a lot longer to get there. So a lot of times, your parents would take you.
What did you do on snow days?
Well, you mean when you got to stay home?
Yeah, if you had to stay home, like what would you do?
Well, you just hang out at home. Chances are, depending on what your mother's situation was, whether she left, if you miss class or you miss going to school, she didn't think that it was a day to go out and have a good time for yourself. So you'd pretty much stay in the house, because if you couldn't get to school, then you shouldn't be able to go outside to play in the snow.
Did you find jobs for you to do it?
Yeah, you might have a job like to clean up your room or something like that. But I don't recall a lot of days that you didn't get to school. It wasn't like today's day and age. I mean, they cancel school tomorrow if there's going to be a storm. It hasn't snowed or anything. I don't ever recall a 2-hour delay all the years that I had gone to school. That's like a modern time.
I wonder if it's partly because teachers come from other towns too, so it's harder for them to get to school.
I think what had happened is like in Deerfield at Frontier, they call school off because it's not so much the downtown center of South Deerfield, it's just buses have to come from Conway and South Ashfield, and the road conditions, ice is treacherous.
Up there,
I don't know if you had seen the article that was on the news here, whether a school bus slid back going up a hill and it knocked the pole down and it rammed into a car. There were 17 kids on the bus, but nobody was hurt. It's just they tried to make the hill, and it was glare ice.
In Conway?
No. This was down in the eastern part of the state. It was just on the news, and the bus came down sideways, you know.
Oof.
Took a pole down and then hit a parked car, but nobody was hurt. It wasn't going that fast. But I think it's more icy conditions versus amounts of snow.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it can make it dangerous.
And like you say, the teacher's coming from some distance. And I remember my fourth grade teacher, Annabelle Hall, she lived in Asheville, but she seemed to make it in every day, right? You know?
Over in Whately.
Yeah, in Whately.
Yeah.
Yeah, she'd get down
from... Those people from Asheville, they're intrepid. I worked with a one in Turner's Falls. She was always there, too.
Yeah, yeah. You'd see the car, you know, and here you'd think it was a storm day, and I says, oh, Anna, Miss Hall is here. I guess we've got class today. You know, I don't know if she started out an extra half hour earlier or what, but she always made it to class. It was cute.
Did you have gym class?
Well, we did it. We had gym class. It was more or less like calisthenics, you know, jumping jacks and things like that. But it wasn't a big class. Yeah, it wasn't a huge class.
Did you learn any skills for the different sports?
I don't recall that. In other words,
you already knew that.
Yeah,
you sort of learned that at home.
There was no like school basketball team or that didn't happen up until you got to junior high, but in elementary, fifth, sixth grade never had really a school team. Yeah.
What do you guys do in your gym class?
We mostly play games.
Oh yeah.
Dodgeball.
Yeah. They're not like well known games like soccer, football. They're like.
They're like
kind of creative games that are like, we on my pencil.
Yeah.
I don't very well.
They're not like sports.
But they're still fun.
But they're like dodgeball.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Capture the flag?
Yeah.
Those are fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anything other you want to mention?
No, I think you've done a great job. The questions were very nice. Put a lot of thought into it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, these guys really came up with all those good questions in their class. Yeah.
I had no idea what it was going to be about. And he says, but I'm willing to come up. And it's so nice to be back here in this classroom that I think I can remember many a year ago. Looking out the window and looking at our plants on the shelving here. And it's nice. I read about the expansions over the years, and which was really really nice. But it was a big thing in my life when we were able to come to a brand new school in the town of Leverett. It was phenomenal.
Well, we thank you very much for coming to help us with this research.
Thanks. Well, you're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, and we thank you guys too for being such
nice.
Good interviewers.
Good. Yes, you did a great job. Next question. Good.
Can I just take, before you guys go, can I take a picture?
Okay.
Let me turn that off. Turn.